Hey, Mystic Chick here. Welcome to part two of Sex and the Law of Attraction. This episode builds on information from part one, so be sure to check that out first. For the latest info on upcoming episodes of Happy Hour with Mystic Chick, follow me on Twitter at @chick_mystic. Stay mystical, my friends. Okay, so we have some questions as far as kind of gauging where you are on the sexuality kind of spectrum, but like, what is your view of yourself and your sexuality? Like, I don't know. Do we have kind of like, what was that Pepper rating scale? Is there like a sexuality rating scale? There probably is. All right. So, like, as I'm trying to, like, there's got to be a scale for sexy scale. I wonder if I Googled sexy scale, if they would actually have one. Let's see what comes up. How sexy are you on a scale of 1 to 10 on the How Stuff Works website? I am curious. This one is, I don't know if they're gonna like make you take a test, which, yeah, I think that will be something that people have to take on their own, but I'm looking actually for more of an image of a scale. So let's see if there's anything here. The cute to sexy scale. So that's an interesting question. Do you feel like you are more cute or more sexy, or how would you kind of define your sexuality?
Me personally?
Sure.
Okay. No, I need more parameters here. Like, okay. So like, okay, but it's like 0 is cute and 10 is sexy, or is it a sliding scale?
This one was more like, you know, they're just two different opposite ends of a scale, as opposed to just like, you know, 0 is like low. It's more just like cute versus like over the top sexy.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I'm sexy, but maybe not over the top sexy. Like, I'm not Anna Nicole.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, okay. Like, we're thinking like, let's say old movie stars, like, okay, so maybe like cute is like what, like Gidget?
Yeah,
or
sure.
Like, maybe, yeah, or maybe like, you know, sexy is like Marilyn Monroe.
Sure, let's go with it.
Yeah,
let's,
I mean, I don't
pigtails versus cleavage.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't think that I am Marilyn Monroe sexy. Am I Audrey Hepburn sexy? You know, like maybe like Virgo, kind of classy, like keeping it together, but she knows what she wants.
I take feel me like to Tiffany's.
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston is cute. All right, we'll give you that one. Okay. Yeah. And it depends on the mood that I'm in personally. Like, I feel like I can be kind of a chameleon as far as like my sexuality and like what I express, because, you know, if I'm going to a particular, like a crazy Halloween party, you know, I sometimes will get a little crazy with my outfits or whatever versus just kind of a backyard barbecue. Fishnets do not seem to make the cut for that one.
Well, okay, I'm a grown-up goth. Like, I feel like fishnets are totally appropriate for a backyard barbecue. But my view on this is, might be skewed. Okay, you know, I'm going to go with Susie Sue Sexy here. That's where I'm landing.
But no, seriously, like, if I, like, when I'm actually trying to channel my sexuality and I'm, like, going out, like, on the town, or I'm going out on a date or that sort of thing, I think that I probably lean more towards the overtly sexy, but not trashy sexy. So I think I'm sexier more with, like, my confidence and my intentions.
Yeah, yeah. When I was dating, I think that like just my first relationship too, like taught me that I could be pretty sexy. So like once I was single, I was like, I was pretty confident in my abilities to attract somebody.
But, you know, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah. Also, I'm a goth, and we wear blood red lipstick to the grocery store. So again, we're kind of graded on a curve here, I think.
Well, yeah, but you're kind of perpetually sexy. Like that kind of keeps up the joie de vivre, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, okay, I guess like when on the outside of the house, you know, like when I'm home, I'm just like in sweats and leggings and my hair looks like it just crawled out of a swamp. So luckily Virgo Lad loves me anyway. So
all right. So we're kind of like off the tree, off the rails here. Oh my God. From sweatpants to sexuality.
I mean, sweatpants can be like part of your sexuality, you know? Like, I mean, we're all in leggings right now. Leggings show off your ass.
That's right. That's true. But I think that especially if you're trying to get your sexy back, you need to ditch the sweats. And I know that's hard in the pandemic kind of atmosphere that we find ourselves in right now, but kind of making the effort to putting on something that makes you feel a little bit sexy, whether it is the matching bra and panties or just kind of a sexier top. Or if you're a guy, like, you know, maybe the shirt that just like feels nice on your skin versus whatever you grab out of your closet that's like some coarse cotton thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Like that's not a t-shirt, dudes. I know that feels nice on your skin, but.
Or those athletic t-shirts that are like almost you can like touch everything through them. Like that's great. That feels sensual and all, but that's not what we're talking about.
Exactly. It's like, I'm just putting forth the effort is what we're saying.
Yes. Effort is good. Whether you have a partner or not, kind of getting yourself in that frame of mind, and also just kind of like thinking about what expectations you have from a partner, because whether you're with someone or not at this moment, if you don't feel like you deserve pleasure, if you feel like you're playing second fiddle to whoever you're with, or you just want to make them happy. And I understand there's actually kind of I'm not trying to knock the people that are in, I don't remember what it's called. They're in the type of relationship where they just want to give the pleasure.
Oh, it's like a dom sub?
Yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm. So that's totally fine if that's what you're into. And you know, but for people who just kind of are in a different boat and they just kind of feel like, well, I don't deserve any pleasure for myself. Like, I'm just like happy to make them happy so that I don't lose them. Then you are not with the right person for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And then kind of thinking about like those relationships that you've had in the past, both good and bad stuff. Like what made, even in like, maybe those relationships in your teens and 20s that are kind of that have the tendency to be a little bit more explosive in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But like maybe you fought a lot or you broke up a bunch of times, but they were really good at, you know, X, Y, and Z. How do you bring some of that into your current relationship? Or, you know, what are you thinking about keeping on the agenda for your next relationship?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I remember like one relationship I had, like the guy would put on like music before we would do anything. And I actually really liked it. You know, it's like, okay, let's set the mood. You know, he would go through his little thing of CDs and he'd be like, oh, like what should we listen to? Like, oh, like, should we listen to this? Should we listen to that? And, you know, choose something like, oh, let's put on the Portishead. You know? But then I remember when I got together with Virgo Lad, I started doing that just because I thought it was like a nice habit, but he actually ended up interpreting it that I was being nervous with him. Like, really? Later on, like, yeah. Like he said to me, it's like, yeah, I remember you were really nervous with me at first because you put on music every time we were like about to make out. And I was like, That wasn't because I was nervous. I was just like trying to set the mood because it was a habit I'd gotten into from this other relationship.
That's the other thing. Every relationship is in its own like time capsule because, you know, you're two different people interacting in a very specific way for yourselves. But that is kind of interesting that depending on the person, some of the things that you would think to do to be kind of sexy or put somebody in the mood might be construed a different way. And that's why communication is so important, because it's like, what is your idea of sexy? And what is your partner's idea of sexy? And how can you align those things? And like, what are some things that, you know, they think are turnoffs, but you think are necessary things to have happen? And you've been doing them thinking that you are like helping things along when really like they're just like getting through it. Like, okay, all right, are we done with that part?
Yes.
I mean, you could say overzealous oral sex could fall into that category.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when the person, and you know, it's like, it's not a race. It's not like they're, the thing that kills me, honestly, with that is the people who are like, they research it and they're like, well, I'm doing the alphabet now.
It's like, really? Yes, the alphabet.
Oh my God, we don't need to do M, please. I don't even like M. I just M.
Maybe do the alphabet backwards and see what happens.
And if you do it backwards, are you a Satanist or what? But, or, you know, they'll be like, no, there's this specific technique where you have to go counterclockwise. And then, you know, you do a tap dance on the hood itself and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh my God, just stop.
Right? And it's even just kind of like, this is what my last partner liked. So like, yeah, exactly. So like, yeah, this is my thing now. And you know, you have to learn what a new partner likes.
Well, and that's, you have to give that kind of like, I don't know, period of, it's not a training period. It's like, you're both getting used to each other, but like,
yeah.
That's the time where you have to kind of communicate what works and what doesn't, because otherwise they are like, oh, well, their person's not saying anything, so it's still really great. I'm great at this, and moving with that. And it's like, no, you're not. No, please stop.
Please stop.
What's another one? Like certain movements. Like if you are to use fingers or that sort of thing, where it's like, well, I read about this technique and you're supposed to do this. And then it's a come hither and then it's this. And then you move it around five times this way. And like, it's like, you are not mixing brownie batter. Okay. It's a person.
Brownie batter.
First, now I'm hungry for brownie batter. but that's the thing. It's like, you can't like just watch all these YouTube things or read all these blog posts and think that, you know, it translates perfectly. You have to communicate and you have to say, is this working for you? Like, you know, how are you liking this? Is this okay? Should I do this again?
Yeah, that's the thing, is that like, if both people aren't having fun, then it's not worth it.
Oh my God.
That's too, like, also, okay, now we're getting into a lot of stuff about consent. So I'll try to just keep this brief, is that it's not just about consent, it's about enthusiastic consent. It's about doing a thing and the other person is like, fuck yeah, let's do that thing. Where sometimes, especially when you're first starting out still learning about your sexuality, still learning about what you like and don't like, you don't feel good about saying like, hey, no, I don't like that. You're like, you're just sitting there like, am I supposed to like this? Maybe it's going to get better. But like, if you're the other person and you realize that the person you're doing the thing to is just kind of like lying there like a log, like not really giving, like just not being enthusiastic about it, you know, maybe just stop doing that thing.
Well, there is a line. If the person's like way too enthusiastic, then I'm like, yeah, this can't happen anymore. Wow, this is great. No. Well, okay, so pet peeves in the bedroom. Do you have any?
I don't know. That's from a long ass time ago.
I mean, it doesn't have to be recent, or it could be like, okay, I'll start with some of mine. Like, okay. And it may not be pet peeves exactly, but like things that I need. I need minty freshness.
minty freshness.
I want to make out with a spearmint leaf. I want to be all up in that plant.
I thought I was the Virgo.
I have some really, well, because I'm OCD. So like, there's a lot of, you know, things that need to happen. Lots of things. But anyways, minty freshness is probably like at the very top of the list. I also don't want to have sloppy drunk sex unless I'm also sloppy drunk.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely.
Just putting that out there. And yeah, I don't know. I think that just like the mechanics of it all, like I don't want to have to consult a manual like every time. I don't know. Like, okay, here's one from like Tantra. It is like kind of the extended time periods that they have like to have a sexual interaction. Just like I'm like, no, I just don't have that kind of time. And I also feel kind of ridiculous. Like there's stuff that Tantra is great for increasing like intimacy. And there's a lot of like wonderful things about Tantra, like seriously wonderful things. Okay, so Tantra kind of means, it's Sanskrit, and it translates to kind of weaving together, and you're weaving together sexual energies, you're weaving together like a balance of different forces and that sort of thing. And it's really, really beautiful and wonderful and everything else. But you both have to be in the mood to do things tantrically because it takes a lot of time. And also there are things that can be acted on in a tantric way that you wouldn't specifically think of as tantra, like dominance and submission stuff can be tantric. So that's something to think about. And there's something, I am looking at a post from Mind Body Green on tantric sex, but I've interviewed people over the years. I've gone to, there's a place in Chicago that I actually stayed at once, and I will post the link for that. I'm seeing if I could pull that one up really quick. Tantra Nova, that's what it was. They're really great people there. But so there's a lot of things that you can do with Tantra that aren't like specifically sexual that can really help increase intimacy in relationships. And also it helps with people who have had a lot of sexual trauma in their backgrounds, because it kind of helps you work on healing. It can be used for like sexual healing, but also just like kind of really digging deep and finding the most subtle energy kind of imbalances, and kind of like working very gently and very softly on some things in a very slow manner that kind of brings two people together. But if you're not in the right frame of mind, if you're doing something like the tantric eye gazing, it just like, I can't do it. Like I will look.
We're like, you're staring into each other's eyes the whole time. Yeah, there's something weirdly creepy about that, isn't there?
That's one of the, like I tend to be an eye closer, I guess. I just end up reverting that way. Like I start, you know, with my intense gaze or whatever, and then it's just like, all right, and then my eyes are closed. So, but if I were to be like, yes, I'm looking at, and that's the thing. It's like, I'm seeing the true you. I'm seeing the whole person. I'm seeing your beautiful soul. That's all wonderful. Okay. If you're in the right frame of mind, but otherwise it's like, this is just getting weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, do we have to eye fuck each other the entire time?
Well, and then because you start out, like there's situations where you just do the eyes, like you sit across from each other and you're just staring at each other lovingly, looking into each other's souls, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes, like looking at these messages, sometimes you combine it with that chest move, the, what do they call it? The hands on hearts circuit kind of thing, where I think you're like, putting your hand on your partner's heart and they're putting their hand on your heart and you're kind of like breathing together, and it's beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. And then if you kind of look into each other's eyes, soul gazing, it's also called soul gazing. It could be a wonderful intimate experience, but if you're not in the right frame of mind, it's like, oh my God, can we just get this done so we can actually like have some fun?
Yeah. See, I don't know. Maybe it depends also on your astrology. Like I see that being so much of a water sign thing.
Like, hey, I'm a water sign.
Let's stare into each other's eyes and feel each other's heartbeats. Virgo Lad and I are just both like snarky bastards, and I think we would just start laughing.
Well, you also have to remember that like your emotional side is like your moon sign, and I'm an Aquarius moon, which is very aloof, so I like don't have the patience for a lot of like touchy-feely lovey stuff.
Yep.
See, I'm making me sound good.
See, I'm a Scorpio moon. And
oh, there
yeah,
you go.
So you would think that I would be like really into that, but I don't know. I feel like Scorpios are edgier than the other water signs.
No, they just give that impression. That's all good marketing. That's all that is. I could be edgy. I could be real edgy.
Well, Cancer's gonna be edgy too.
But let me get cozy first. Anywho, so Tantra can be an amazing thing for people if they are in the right frame of mind for it, if they are seeking it out to increase intimacy or to kind of heal from sexual wounds in the past. There are organizations, Tantra Nova, which is in downtown Chicago. There's opencenter.org, which I believe is in New York City, but they have a lot of resources on there that, and I think they're doing some virtual classes on different aspects of Tantra. So that's something to check out. Also, when, you know, things open back up, meetup.org actually has some Tantra groups that you can kind of seek out. And they also, and this is kind of an interesting thing, because some of them kind of go into the cuddle party category also. So like they'll do tantric stuff, but they will also have like events where they'll just have a cuddle party.
Yeah, some people really like the cuddle parties.
Just I'm not ruling it out. I guess I'd like to try one once just to see what all the hubbub's about, but
I feel like I could see you being like real into the cuddle parties.
Because I'm a Cancer. Is that it? Is that where we're going with this?
Maybe.
I see how it be.
Virgo Lad and I would probably just like walk into a cuddle party and be like, okay, we're weirded out now. Just walk right back out.
You can cuddle me, just don't stroke my hair. That's too intimate. It's like, you know, when you kind of sell yourself for love, but you're like, don't make out with me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, like no kissing. That's way too intimate.
Pretty Woman It.
Yeah. Pretty Woman It.
There's also a book that, and I think I actually have a copy. I had done a series of tantric episodes years ago. And so we might actually kind of revisit the topic of tantric sex and that sort of thing. And Tantra as a discipline. But
I can tell Virgo Lad that we have to do this stuff for research.
Well, and I was thinking about one of the kind of quintessential tantric poses. Well, first of all, I'm just going to say Urban Tantra is the book in case anybody wants to look it up. I think that second edition. So that has, it's a really well done book. I think I have the first edition on my shelf. I need to look for it, but what was the other thing with it? Oh, the quintessential kind of tantric pose. I'm not certain if it's really like friendly to all types of relationships, because it's the yab yum, which, have you ever done the yab yum?
I don't know what that is. So maybe.
When we get into the positions for by your astrological sign, you will be like, did I do this before? I don't know.
That sounds like something that an Ewok would say. Yab yum.
Yab yum. Because you are like your partner sitting there cross-legged, and then you kind of get on top of your partner and you're facing them and you're kind of wrapping your arms around them. And
I'm looking this up right now. We do this one all the time.
Okay. So been there, done that. And I'm trying to, I think you can alter it and still have the experience if you are in an alternate relationship.
Yeah, just flip it around.
I'm trying to picture that. I'm like, I was just thinking that you just kind of move slightly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it seems like maybe it's, you could pretty much do it with anybody, I think, if it rocks your boat. I don't know. I mean, I think that with the tantric position. Yeah.
And also, like, I mean, toys can be your friend, and that can also probably get you into the yab yum.
You're making it sound am I thinking it's less of a gymnastics position than you're are we thinking of the same position? There's one called the plow or something, where I swear, or the wheelbarrow, where somebody is holding somebody else's ankles, and I don't know. I think that was part of my issue with Tantra, was I can't get in half of these positions. I've got sciatica.
I'm looking up this right now. What's the wheelbarrow?
Yeah, please, because it's the wheelbarrow and the plow were the big, I don't know, whatever you can find on those.
I'm trying. There's nothing in the image search except for actual wheelbarrows.
You have to do wheelbarrow tantra.
I did wheelbarrow tantra.
Oh, really?
Women's Health Magazine, the best sex positions ever. Let's see what these are.
Oh.
Come on.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now it's confirm my choices. Yes, I'll do cookies, whatever.
Okay. Yeah. This drawing is not helping me. This poor woman is like on her, she's got her hands on the floor. He's standing up.
See this. Oh yeah. That's some gymnastic stuff right there. Yeah.
I do that at 11 at night, right, on a weeknight.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that it'd be fun, you know, if you're someone who does a lot of yoga,
Oh my God. And now I'm curious, because at the bottom it says how to do the champagne room sex position. Okay.
Oh, okay. So, I was about to say, isn't that just a lap dance that, ends up being more than just a lap dance?
Yes. And, okay, so here's the thing, with all these sex positions, and we're going to talk about the Zodiac ones next, but it's you probably have figured all these out on your own at some point.
Yeah, that's the thing. You just learned about the yab yum, and turns out, you've been doing the yab yum for years.
You've been yabbing it up for years.
Yeah, yabbing it up.
And eventually, I was going to kind of talk about Kundalini yoga in this episode as well, but basically with Kundalini yoga, because I want to do one on just kind of firing up your passion in general for life, and getting you more involved in life in a bunch of different ways. And I think Kundalini yoga will definitely be mentioned in that episode, but it's basically kind of the thinking that there's a serpent coiled at the base of your spine. And in order to kind of really harness your energy as a person, you need to kind of unblock your chakras and let that serpent roam free. And that is kind of what Kundalini yoga is all about. And it's actually a really fun type of yoga if you haven't tried it. There's a lot of sound and chanting involved with it, and different kind of almost primal kind of noises you can make. And it's very empowering.
Well, I am trying to look up a thing here. Nope. I'm not able to look it up. But no, I know that there was some comic book that I read once that had a whole scene. It was really hot too. Like a whole scene about Kundalini sex. So yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting. And so Kundalini yoga in and of itself is just kind of, it's not strictly sexual, it's just a life force thing, but it goes hand in hand with tantra and all that other stuff. I'm totally butchering that poor word, tantra. So Kundalini yoga is definitely something to kind of check out if you are curious about awakening yourself energetically. Okay, where is that link for, should we do the sex positions?
Oh, for the signs. Yes.
And we also have to still talk about sex magic. And we've been all over the map, because there's also, actually, before we dive into that, some ways to kind of shake things up energetically and kind of raise your sexual vibration. I'm just going to list these really quick before we get into some more fun stuff. But just some things to keep in mind if you're feeling stuck or you want to get in a sexier place. Feng shui is definitely something to consider, just to make sure that you kind of amp up that bedroom energy, your romance area, your relationships, all of that. So, it's that back right corner of your first floor living space. just kind of give that, show that area some love, give it some white or pink or red kind of color in there. And couples of anything work really well in there too. So like, even if it's not in a bedroom, if it's a normal room of the house or whatever, candle pairs, anything in pairs kind of helps that too. We talked about Tantra, aromatherapy, and I'm just listing smells: vanilla, cinnamon, rose, jasmine, and our favorite, ylang-ylang.
Ylang-ylang.
And while I don't prefer ylang-ylang, it is listed as a very sensual smell. If it kind of gets to you, if you're like, yes, I feel very sexy with my ylang-ylang, then go with it. Belly dancing. If you dust off your sex toys,
dust off the sex toys, or even just like bring out the sex toys that you use on a regular basis into some partner sex.
I don't know. That's like mixing two worlds, isn't it, Virgo Labs? I'm kidding.
Is it though?
Apparently, I'm a little more devious.
Yeah. Well, okay, then I'll, you know what? Excuse to buy more sex toys.
It would be really awkward if you were like, you know, dating someone and you're like, well, I think it's time to break out my toys. So don't get nervous because I have one of those like big horse shaped things. It's not going to compete with you at all.
See, I would say that is like the true test where like, you know, if the person is like, all right, I'm game, then they're a keeper.
You start bringing out your toys and you have like these mega like plugs that are like a foot wide. Like, yeah, I think I'm in too deep here. Literally.
In too deep here. But I'm bum.
But that's why communication is so important. All right. So watching a dirty movie, and okay, here, dirty movies. This can be kind of an area of contention as well, because funeral flowers, that ylang-ylang, that's what it, like lilies or, yeah, good comparison. All right, so dirty movies. If you are not in the same kind of, everybody has their own thing about like what kind of turns them on, and if you're trying to watch a sexy movie together, I feel like there is this, do you know that the Venn diagrams where you have like the circle of your attractions and interests, and then you have the circle of your partners, and then you have that very tiny little sliver of space in between, and that's the kind
of overlap.
Yes, that's the kind of movie you have to seek out. And honestly, for me, I hate like rom-coms. Like, I will not watch like any like mainstream romantic movies. They just irritate me to no end. If it's not like horror or like psychological thrillers or action, I'm just like, whatever. I'm probably wired wrong.
I'm really not into the rom-coms either. So,
but then, okay. So then there's this thing about like female porn being, it has to be like, it's been designed by women for women, and it's all very soft and sensual and sexy. And it's like, what if you don't fit that mold? Like, what if you just don't want the female porn because it's just too annoying?
Yeah, it's really hard because, I just said hard. but yeah, it's really hard to find like the happy medium between like stuff that's made for men that can be like even really upsetting to watch, and so made for women where it's like, oh, really? Okay, so she's in the diaphanous gown and now they're gently kissing and now like they're in a waterfall and like it's
a waterfall.
Yeah. And it's a metaphor. Why are there so many metaphors in this dirty movie?
I don't want to have to work this hard. Jeez, we're 45 minutes in. Is anything going to happen? Oh, just stop with the kissing already. And then, you know, you definitely bring up a point with the guy ones where it's like some of them, I mean, there is a lot of abuse in that industry, and there's a lot of girls that, you know, and guys that, and other people that have been like, really taken advantage of. And as far as even getting consent and like what they end up making these people do for money without like there's like a huge gap with all that. And so you have to be very careful in kind of what you are even viewing, because it definitely affects your energy as well. If you're watching a lot of things that, you know, you wonder if the people have been really kind of sold a bad bill of goods there when they signed on for that thing. It's like, well, I don't know if this is like going to really help me as a person to watch this.
Right.
But a lot of the guy stuff kind of tends to fall in that category. I hate to say it.
Yeah, exactly. Where like there's way too much plastic surgery going on, where there's probably, I mean, if you're into choking, then okay, that's good for you. But sometimes like you're like, okay, so now she's being choked out now. So does that mean that my partner wants me to be choked out? Because I'm not super into that. Like,
I don't really like to be close to death when I do things, but that's just me.
Or does he want to ask me to choke him out? Like, okay, like maybe I can like work myself up to this. It's like, but yeah, it's like, I mean, okay. And it is kind of like showing each other your kinks in a way. So like, well, maybe you're really into choking. Maybe you want your partner to be, but that's like, you're also going to have the conversation after the dirty movie about like, this is how to do it safely. This, like, I'm giving you consent. Like, this is how I like it to be. And this is my safe word, or, you know, my safe word is when you're taking me over the brink.
Right. Well, and that's why I kind of wonder if you almost need to like train with somebody, because that kind of stuff can get really like technical as far as, you know, what is safe and what's not, honestly.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is that you're watching professionals, and so they've done this like a million times and they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But like, you're an 18-year-old dude and you're like, oh, women like this, and start like choking out the girl that you're with. Like, don't do that without any warning. Like, no, like seriously, choking out needs to be a conversation.
Oh, period. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's kind of scary. But I mean, okay, so as far as, because we're kind of bordering on two issues that I wanted to touch on, but like, the first one is kind of with porn and everything. Like, do you feel like, if your partner watches it, do you feel like they're cheating on you? Because I think there are some people, especially women, who kind of fall in that category.
Yeah, a lot of women get very threatened by it. I mean, I've just always kind of been, you know, of the opinion of like, okay, so I mean, this is what gets you off. Like, I'm not around. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's not a thing that has anything to do with me, is what you're saying.
I think the only time it really, because I mean, I'm probably, maybe it's my psych background, but it's like, whatever helps you get to the place you need to be, that's great. I think the only issue comes in when it's like abnormal in some way, where it's kind of like
really over the top, when it becomes an addiction.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was somebody that I had a relationship with a long, long time ago. And I realized after the fact, like the phone bill came.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Christmas Day, and I could like think back on it. And I had to take a shower to get ready to go to see the, you know, whatever, their family or something. I was getting ready for their family, and they called the number while I was in the shower.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, really? So, yeah, that was fun. But no, I mean, I think that if you, you know, you're with somebody and yeah, it's either all the time or there's something really, really wrong with it, like, you know, underage or snuff films or something like that. That is number one. Go find yourself a safe space right away. And number two, report that stuff to the authorities, because that's bad. That is bad news.
Yeah, I had a friend once who, she was dating this guy, and I think that the relationship played itself out. It was a couple of years. She didn't see it going anywhere. And so she like broke it off. And I think like a week later, he wrote her this giant letter, and he duct taped it to her door. And the gist of it was, I realize now that I was never able to really give all of myself to you because I am heavily addicted to porn.
Wow. Well, at least like it sounded like that person was going through a 12-step program.
I don't know if he was quite there yet, but yeah. But she had no idea. This is news to her.
Surprise.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that definitely puts a damper on a relationship. Also, like fetishes, whether you have any or not, whether your partner has any, if you share fetishes or if you have some and you're like so afraid to even tell your partner what they are, that comes up sometimes.
Oh yeah, that's a big thing. I think especially like, again, now I feel like it's such an out in the open thing. Like people get together and they're like, all right, so what are your kinks? Let's lay them out here. It's so much healthier than like what we went through when we were growing up.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, but also, I mean, if we want to talk about like the kind of porn that women can be into, like, I mean, a lot of times it can be like not necessarily a movie, but it can be written porn, it can be like slash fiction, it can be fan fiction that gets like super dirty.
50 like, Shades.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh my God, that was so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, no, 50 Shades is bad. There's better fan fiction out there.
I remember toughing through that book because everybody kept talking about it. And I'm like, this is so badly written that I can't even. And the fact that she did all her research, this like middle-aged woman did all her research on S&M and BDSM, like from one sex shop in like a 2-hour period of time.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah, wow.
So the other question with fetishes, though, is like, what happens if you, well, two things, like if your partner has one that you don't feel comfortable with, because sometimes if they're like, if that's like a huge turn on for them and you don't kind of oblige, do they end up like seeking things out elsewhere? Like, is there a compromise?
Yeah, I know. I think that the term, is good giving and game in any relationship, like literally like any relationship, like no matter what the context, is that you want to be good giving and game. And that means when a person tells you that they're a furry and they get off by dressing up in animal costumes, then you're just like, all right, let's explore this. Let's go on Etsy and look at some animal costumes. You know, like maybe it's not necessarily your thing, but you're like game enough to give it a try.
I like that good giving and game. That's almost corporate.
Yeah, right.
You can see that on a wall in like a lunchroom at a company.
How to be good giving and game in the marketing space.
There you go. One of those word, what do they call those things? Those word whatever. They turn them into images, but they're like made of words.
Oh, word cloud?
Word clouds, yes. Oh my gosh. Okay, so what if though their fetish is something that,
if the fetish is something scary, like if they're a straight up sadist and you're not, like, and you're not like that much of a misogynist. If they're a misogynist, fucking run.
Oh, yeah, really.
Yeah.
That's a totally different episode.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, but if you're not submissive enough to be into what they're trying to dish out, then yeah, I mean, first of all, that's a conversation. Like it's more on them again to make the zone comfortable. Like, mm-hmm. If you're going to be good giving in game, then they have to like make that zone as comfortable as possible and just do micro little baby steps to get you into it and get you into a place where you're like, okay, like, yeah, I'm enjoying it. But they have to be cool with that. You know, it can't just be like, yeah, I'm into choking you out and I'm going to leave you if you're not.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that sounds like a whole different type of relationship conversation at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
I know we're going to get the warning in like 15 minutes, and I wanted to cover a couple of other things. We didn't even touch on sex magic No pun intended. I keep feeling like anything touching, we're like, it's a joke.
Pretty much.
So, you know, the sex magic with kind of having intentions and casting spells and using your orgasm as that final blast into the universe. How do you feel about that?
Like, so recently I was on the Twitters, on the Twitters, and somebody was asking, like, okay, people who do sex magic, how do you even do that? Because when I have an orgasm, that's all I can think about. Because, okay, the thing about sex magic, like, just sum it up very quickly, is that, like, as you're orgasming, you envision your, like, something that you want to manifest. And
if it's like a new car, it gets a little weird, but
yeah, exactly. But yeah, maybe you're like, you know, yeah, maybe your fantasy is like having sex in the new car. Like, yeah, that could work.
There you go.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I mean, whether it's like abundance, whether it's a raise at work, anything like that, like, you kind of, give that shout out right before you come. And then like that kind of gives it like this extra push off into the universe. And the girl asking the question was just like, how do you do that? Which is a really good question. And some people had some amazing ideas. Like they said, I'll, you know, like as I'm about to have an orgasm, like I'll shout it, you know, like just like you're about to come and you're like, abundance, money.
Make it rain.
Yeah, make it rain. Yeah. I mean, it's like probably harder if it's like a new raise at work, but say like you just envision like gold coins exploding everywhere. I mean, that can be kind of hot.
Or I think I read somewhere that like you can have like if your vision board is in your bedroom, like where somewhere where you can stare at it when you have an orgasm, then yes, that kind of helps too.
Yeah.
Where you don't have to kind of think as hard, where you're just seeing what you want to create.
Yeah. And one person also said that they write it down on their arm with a pen and then just, you know, like have sex like as normal.
As normal.
Yeah, but that way it's like it's on their body manifesting and they don't have to like concentrate. They can concentrate on the things that's getting them off instead of like, I want to raise at work.
Yeah. Well, and I think like, and we may end up exploring kind of sex magic in its own episode. I mean, there's a lot to this topic and there's some things that I don't know, like they sound kind of, for lack of a better word, kind of gross, that are also involved in sex magic, like menstrual blood.
Oh, and yeah. When we, menstrual blood magic is its own thing. Like, yeah. I mean, again, grown up goth over here, like I know plenty about like, you know, the edgy goth girls who want to do spells or paint in their period blood or like, you know, they, yeah. And it's just like, oh my God, I'm so edgy. I'm so counterculture. It's like, sure you are.
Well, and I mean, so like it is lifeblood and there is a huge amount of energy in menstrual blood.
Yeah.
But
sex magic, manifesting some shit while you're on your period and you're having some period sex. I mean, like, okay.
There you go. They got that manifesting towel.
Lay down a towel and part it till it's dry.
maybe it's one of those beach towels with the money all over it.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, and they have some things where like you can take your menstrual blood and like carve a sigil and put it like smear it under the candle, like on the sigil and that sort of thing. So I mean, there's like a whole lot of things you can kind of explore in that realm that I don't think we can properly attend to in this episode, but it is like for on a very like, you know, high level kind of view, not to go corporate again, it is kind of like when you are orgasming, if you have something in mind that you are working on manifesting, give it a shot and no pun intended, and see how it goes. And then let us know if it works for you, because we would love to know that.
Yes.
I actually, this is just an aside, but I have a dirty picture in my bedroom that was painted by an elephant.
Painted by an elephant?
Yeah. And it, I bought it on the National Geographic Novica website, which they sell a lot of handmade goods or trunk made, as the case may be.
Trunk made goods.
And my elephant, he just like painted this really dirty picture. And I just, that is what I stare at. I love it. And I forgot my elephant's name. It's like on the back of it. But they had, you know, those elephants that paint all those paintings in like Bali or somewhere out there. And I bought one of those pictures. And it's great. It's one of my most prized possessions.
Oh, a little elephant.
A little elephant. But they like, and it, he used like this shimmering metallic kind of rainbow paint. It's actually pretty cool. And it's like two figures kind of like joined, but leaning away from each other in like some sort of exotic pose. And it's like,
I think you need to put this on, I think you need to put this on your Twitter now.
I will actually, because that's pretty hot. So the other thing then, last but not least, because we will revisit sex magic at some point. We might have other warning labels for that episode because I feel like it could get a little dicey. It won't be for the faint of heart. Let's put it that way. The last but not least is the sex positions according to Zodiac sign. And did you check that out ahead of time? Like, do you know?
No, I didn't.
Okay, because I'm going to ask you yours first.
Okay, well, I mean, like, apparently it's, what was it, the yub-yub, the yim-yum? Or like...
No, it is not. So I guess you got your answer. Let's see which, if there's a zodiac sign that does that one. Aries kind of, but one person standing. Let's see. Yub-yum.
That's what it is.
Wow, some of these look really intricate. I'm really glad I'm a Cancer. That's all I got to say.
So what's Cancer?
All right, we'll start with Cancer. It's actually one that I do already. I'm like, wow, that is actually my favorite position. It's called the watering can. And it's basically, it's a variation of the cowgirl cowboy. The partner is basically on, the giving partner is on their back while the receiving partner gets on top. And instead of remaining upright, the partner on top presses their body against the partner on the bottom. So, and the top partner can wrap their hands around the bottom partner's neck and that sort of thing. And the, it's getting kind of crazy. The bottom partner puts their hands on the top partner's lower back or booty, amplifying intimacy through kissing, yada, yada. So yeah, it's a very intimate kind of, I guess it's kind of a mushy pose.
That is a mushy pose. I like it though.
So, but starting at the top, unless you want me to do yours next, should I do?
Yeah. So what's Earth sign?
Let's see. Oh, I just passed it. Virgo. It's called Aphrodite. Ooh.
The Aphrodite, nice. Of course.
Do you know it or?
No. I'm just saying like that sounds like a very Virgo position, but yeah, what is it?
It's like, so, like you're sitting on someone's lap, like they're cradling you almost. So the giver sits with their legs stretched out while the receiver sits on top in a side saddle position.
Isn't that just reverse cowgirl?
No, because you're like sitting, like they're holding like a person on your lap. Like,
hi, Bowie. I know what Bowie. Everybody, this is my cat. He has things to say.
Hi, Bowie. So this is on shape.com. It's called the Zodiac Sex Positions, I think. What is it called?
Hold on. I'm like looking this up right now.
Best sex position
Aphrodite.
Yeah. It's called Best Sex Position for Your Zodiac Sign, in case anybody, and I'll try to post a link.
I don't know about this one. Like, I feel like this is something that, I don't know, like, it sounds good in theory, but would just end up being, like, super frustrating.
All right. I'm going to do Capricorn and Aries next. Let's see. Where is my... I lost my link. I lost it. Okay. Okay, here's Aries. Are you still looking?
Oh, no, I'm still looking. Like, I just saw one where, like, the woman's, like, in a full split.
Yeah, some of these are very involved.
I mean, okay, yeah, like, if you... Actually, I see that being a lot of fun if you were that flexible. I am not.
All right, so the caliper is... is for Aries, the caliper. And that one actually looks doable. No pun intended, doable. Because the guy is standing, or the person, the giver is standing. I don't know how they break up giver, receiver. You're both doing, but I don't know. But anyways, one person's standing there and then the other person's holding onto their neck.
Oh, yeah. That's a fun one.
Yeah. So that's doable. And then let's see. Capricorn. I'm like all over the map here. Capricorn. Yeah, that looks fine, I think. Coital alignment technique. Wow, they actually have a technique.
Of course they have a technique.
It's known as the cat. So it's I think it's supposed to be one of the best positions for clitoral stimulation, and it's like a missionary position, but moving up until they're entering the receiving partner from an angle. So I think people are actually going to have to like click on this link. I'll put it in the show page and kind of check these out, because I don't even know if like describing them without having like a slideshow going is doing them justice. Some of these are really like Aquarius with the twisted Amazon. I mean, the woman is like, the guy is like, yeah, on his back. And I don't even do that without,
yeah, like these sound pretty heteronormative too. Like, I mean, could like just anyone of any persuasion do these? Like,
yeah, I don't know. You're right. Like, I think that it would definitely, like some of them, like Scorpio, it looks like it would be more of a fit for lesbians.
Oh, what's that one called?
It just looks like scissoring.
It's probably just scissoring.
It looks kind of like, I mean, they're calling it the bow.
I'm looking this up. The bow.
The bow.
Yeah, it just looks like scissoring.
So, I think.
Whoa. Like, there's one here where a person is like suspended in midair between the other person's legs. Again, like, okay, if you're acrobats, like,
which one?
It's called the bow sex pose.
Oh, yeah. That was the one that we were looking.
Yeah.
And then there's ones like the soft rock that look like pretty like missionary-ish.
Yeah, like that doesn't sound sexy. Like, let's do the soft rock.
You know what's funny though is I'm looking at Sagittarius, and that is the other go-to pose. Like my partner is a Sagittarius, I'm a Cancer, and we do this Cancer and the Sagittarius pose. Those are our go-tos. That's so funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's the exact same thing. I'm getting the exact same images for it as the Cancer one. Look at that. Perfect match.
And they thought that, like, I've always been told, like, we're a terrible couple. Like, I make steam or something. Like, I put out his fire. I don't know. But no, see, this is just showing that, like, we're right on target. There you go. So, yeah. So some, I'm seeing the Aries poses. It really does depend on a lot of factors.
I'm looking at the one for Leo and it's hilarious. It's just like legs spread as far as they can go.
Oh my. Yeah, no, I can't do that. Is I would make a Leo very unhappy. I'd be like, wow, okay. It called the captain, of course. Leo captain.
Of course.
Oh my.
Leo goodness. Is always the captain.
And the necklace of Venus for Gemini looks pretty easy too, because the woman or the receiver or whatever is just on a counter or a table. It's like, okay, whatever. Like, that's pretty standard.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on how adventurous you are. But this might be a topic that we are going to have to revisit, because there is a lot at play with sexuality and kind of energy and just kind of increasing your energy with things such as tantra practices, kundalini yoga, getting yourself kind of in a good place mentally, making sure that you think about the relationships that you've had and like what kind of elements you want to bring into your relationship to have it be truly a sexy experience. And yeah, I mean, I think that we are going to touch on some other sexy topics in upcoming episodes, like polyamory. I know we kind of want to dive into that one, no pun intended. But this is kind of like, you know, an opening the floodgates kind of situation here with human sexuality is such a there's so much going on with that. But the biggest thing to keep in mind with energy and your sexuality is to remember that the situations that you're attracting don't necessarily have to be the ones that you're desiring. It's all about increasing your frequency. So you're vibrating at a higher level that can attract the good stuff.
Exactly.